gift. And though it took us a little time to individualize you as fathers, you're worth it. And we want to take the time. You let me worry about the time remaining. But we did want to take the time to do that. And we also want to take the time to thank all of those who were in the background that made this possible. This was not an easy event, and it was not something that was thrown together overnight. It was put together over an extended period of time. So what I'm going to ask of you, Quilis, is that you just give some love to those who did this and made this possible in the background. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. This is both an easy message to give and a difficult message to give. It's an easy message to give because it's something that God has asked us all to be. It's a challenging message to give and a difficult message to give because very few in the world recognize the importance and the significance of godly fathers. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you very briefly about godly fathers and the impact that you have on, first of all, your family, and then on the families around you and ultimately the world. It's easy to become a biological dad. Work with me here. Any male can do that. The challenge is to be a father. The challenge is to stick around. The challenge is to give up yourself. Any father will tell you that it is not about me. It's about my responsibilities. Any father will tell you that I must put my pride, myself, my ambitions down to honor the role and the responsibility that I have. If you're in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, Brother West, why don't you get that for us? I want you to read. I want you to start with the first verse here. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and we're just going to read the first four verses. Read for us, please.
Children, obey your parents.
Now, listen to what Paul is saying here. Paul is talking about a recipe for a household. And so he's going to address everyone in the household. Lastly, the father. But he says to those who are in the household, those who are most vulnerable, those who most need help, he says to them, what?
Children, obey your parents.
Obey, honor your parents. How?
In the Lord.
In the Lord. In the Lord. Read.
For this is right.
This is right.
Honor your father and your mother.
Honor is due your father and your mother. I don't know, but what I see that is most depressing, and I see this more often than I'd like to admit, is a child, and I'm just going to be old school and say it the way I would say it, a child giving his father and giving his mother lip. You know, to me, that's a child that didn't know how to honor father and mother. That's a child that does not appreciate God's instructions to that particular child in the household. That's a child that doesn't know his or her place in the household. And so when you see that, it is such an ugly sign of what a family can become. And Scripture tells the children to obey, to honor both mom and father. Read on.
Which is the first commandment.
That's the first with promise. Now, I can detour here just for a moment, and I'm not going to stay long because I'm kind of being mindful of time, but the first commandment with promise is obey your father in the Lord so that your life might be long. Amen. You ever wonder where Pops, old school Pops, get this phrase, I brought you in the world and I'll pick you up? That's scripture, y'all. That's I give you book, chapter, and verse for that. That's scripture. So it is the first promise, the first commandment with promise. Now there's some rewards on the other end of that, but sometimes we just need to get down to the nitty gritty, amen? Amen. All right, read on.
Then it may be well with you.
That it might be well with you.
And you may live long on the earth.
And that you might live long on the earth. Read.
And you fathers,
uh-huh,
do not provoke.
Listen to what he says to the fathers. Fathers, don't provoke. Be a kind father. Be a thoughtful father. Have something in mind as you raise, as you train, as you become an example for those whom God has given you. These are your gifts. Your wife, fathers, husbands rather, is a gift to you from the Lord. Your children, fathers, are gifts to you from the Lord. One psalmist says that children are like arrows, and blessed is a man who has a quiver full of them. Fathers, don't damage these young minds and hearts that you are responsible for. Don't provoke them to anger, but do what?
But bring them up.
Nurture them. Bring them up in an environment that will be conducive to them becoming godly men and godly women, godly future husbands and godly future wives and mothers. Create that environment so that they can be who God wants them to be. Read on.
Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
Bring them up in the training. Some versions say in the discipline. And we don't like that word. We don't like that word discipline, but I want you to understand that the Greek word that training comes out of and that discipline comes out of means to help them unburden themselves from all of those things that prevent them from being who God wants them to be. It comes out of the arena of the athlete who, when he trained in the Roman times, trained natural, because he didn't want not even the clothing to prevent him or hinder him from being who he needed to be and excelling in the athletic venture that he was responsible for or that he was trying to accomplish. And so scripture tells us that we're to bring up, that we're to create an environment. Sometimes you need to tell your children they're wrong. Sometimes you need to correct your children. Sometimes it's not cute when your child curses you out in public. Sometimes it's not cute when your child throws a temper tantrum in public. Sometimes it's not cute when a child gives you a piece of your mind. Sometimes you need to step in with a firm hand. Now you can interpret that any way you want. But I tell you what, if you don't, you will pay the price. You will pay the price, fathers. So bring them up, discipline them, instruct them, guide them, be an example. I'm tired of fathers. I'm tired of looking across audiences in the church and seeing more ladies in the church than I see men. I see kids in the church. I see mothers. Where are the dads? The fathers. And I know I'm speaking to the saved here because you're already here. But let me just go out and tell the fathers you know who aren't here. That Bible says, bring your children to church. Don't send them. You come too. Because when you send them, you know what lesson you're teaching them? You're teaching them that when they get grown, they don't have to obey God either. Amen. Sometimes we just need to lay it out and be real. Is that all right? Sometimes we need to lay it out and just be real. And so this is the passage from which we launch our lesson this morning. There's another passage, and I will say this, and those of you who are taking notes, I'll just ask that you read this in your leisure at a later point in time. But Colossians 3rd chapter, verses 17 through 21. Paul says the same thing with respect to husbands loving their wives. Don't be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents. And fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, lest they become discouraged. And see, you see what an awesome responsibility we have. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. The Bible is replete with examples of different kinds of fathers. There are good fathers and there are bad fathers. And so if you don't mind, let me talk about a few fathers that we don't need. We spent a lot of time talking about Lot lately, haven't we? But Lot's an excellent example of the kind of father we don't need. Lot, Brother Wes, if you'll get for me Genesis, the 13th chapter, and somewhere around the 10th verse, if you'll start reading there for me. Lot is a classic example in that he tells us how not to make decisions that affect your family. How to make decisions that are long-term. Don't make decisions on the basis of your own satisfaction, your own selfish needs. Make decisions that consider those that you have responsibility for. Verse 10, if you'll start reading it for us, please.
And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan.
Now, I want to play on that phrase for just a moment. If you recall the sin of Eve in the garden, the Bible says that she looked at that fruit and she desired it. It looked good. It appealed to the flesh. Lot does the same thing. He lifts his eyes and he looks at the well-watered plains of Jordan. And that's the basis upon which he decides, this is where my family will reside. Good fathers consider the environment that their children grow up in. Good fathers consider where their home is and what's around their home. Good fathers consider and try to affect an environment that's going to be conducive to what God wants the family to encounter. And the end of Lot's decision found him in a land and surrounded by people who did not care about God, who did not follow God, who did not worship God, and he paid the price for it. We don't need short-sighted fathers
who are more concerned about their own needs, their own appearance, than their families. If you've got a father who doesn't consider his family, you don't have a good father. I'll say that again. If you have a father who doesn't consider his family, who will not put his family above his needs, then you don't have a good father. Because every example of a good father that we see in Scripture is one who places his needs below that of his household. Because, see, that's what's important. And good fathers know that. Eli, in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, get that for me, please. We'll look at a couple of scriptures related to Eli. Eli was a priest. Now, in which it says, even preachers' kids can be bad.
Say amen. I know y'all want to say that. Amen. Say amen. Say it loud. Amen. Amen. Elders' kids can be bad. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Deacons' kids can be bad. Amen. Just because you have a position of authority doesn't mean that your kids and your family and your household is who God wants it to be. We have, the reason I call and single out these individuals, and we might as well call out other individuals in our community of authority, policemen, teachers, principals, businessmen, these individuals that the community holds up as good fathers, as successful fathers, you need to know that the burden of your family is on you. And that position can sometimes put a higher expectation on you because you feel that position. Eli was a priest, but he had some bad boys. He had some boys that would target women who came to the worship service. He had boys that would steal the sacrifice and take the very best of the sacrifice. They were supposed to be priests who prepared and did sacrifices on behalf of the people, but they were more concerned about themselves. And scripture says God killed them all. Because they did not honor him. And where God placed the blame?
He placed it on Eli. Let's look at some of the things he did. 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, the second chapter, in verse 12. Read that for us, please.
Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt.
Yes.
They did not know the Lord.
They were bad boys. They were bad kids. You ever grew up with a family and they had some boys and you go, those are some bad seeds, those demon seeds. About those boys, you might say, yeah, you're going to see them in jail. They're going to go from high school to jail. These are Eli, the priest boy. And see what the Bible does not fool us. The Bible does not hide the truth. Okay? And so if a priest's kids can go wrong, yours can too. My dad used to have this old saying. He said, you know why my kids are so bad? He says, because at 3 o'clock in the morning I'm at your house pulling your spouse off of you. And secondly, because my kids play with your kids. Okay. It's all right when I'm talking about how bad preacher's kids are, but all of a sudden when I come home to roost. Verse 17. Drop down to verse 17 for us real quick.
Therefore, the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord.
Uh-huh.
For men abhorred the offering of the Lord.
Yes. Now, these priests, and they were supposed to be facilitating the worship service. And scripture says that their actions abhorred the worship service. I want you to understand here that what the Bible is saying is that when you do not follow God's intended instructions for you, then God sees you as his enemy. And God sees you as blaspheming his worship. And Eli's boys fell under this umbrella of behavior. Drop down to the third chapter and verse 13. And this is the epithet that his boys, that Eli carries. Read.
Well, I have told him
uh-huh.
that I will judge his house
for him. Now, when God calls Samuel, he tells Samuel what he's going to do with regard to Eli's family.
And so the night God calls Samuel and speaks to him, he tells him what he's going to do to Eli. And he says he's going to do this to Eli because he's warning Eli. And he told Eli who he ought to be and what he ought to be and how he ought to restrain his boys and how he ought to teach and be an example for his boys. But he did not. And so God said, read.
I will judge his house.
I'm going to judge. Now what he is saying is I'm going to judge his whole family, his whole lineage. His whole legacy, from Eli to his grandbabies. Read on.
For the iniquities which he knows.
For their sins, read.
Because his sons
uh-huh.
make themselves vile.
Yes.
And he did not restrain.
And he, Eli, did not restrain them.
You got a bad family? God puts the blame on the father.
Somewhere along the way, the father has to train, get in the way of, demonstrate. When you start at age 2 or earlier, because you can see the personalities even right, you can see the personalities as soon as they come home with you on some cases. But you don't wait till they're 18. I've had parents tell me, well, I'm going to train them when they get 18. That's too late, child. That's 18 years too late. You can't. If you haven't begun to tweak that tree, that limb, and get to growing right, and putting some restraints on it, and putting some confines on what he or she can't do, when they get 18, it's set.
Amen.
It's set. And when you read the story of Eli and his boys, you do see Eli fussing at. That's all you see him doing, is fussing at. Y'all some bad boys. Y'all some bad. You better discipline your children.
And so God laid the blame on Eli because he did not discipline his children. Since we're talking about discipline, get for me Proverbs 29 and verse 15, please. This is a passage that we always like to argue about, what it means. I'm going to leave it to you. I'm going to explain it to you, and I'm going to leave it to you. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Read that for us, please.
The rod and rebuke give wisdom.
Uh-huh.
But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother.
Now, we will have endless debates on what kind of corporal punishment you can give a child. Okay? And I realize the day that the society that we are a part of, I grew up in a community where if you saw a parent spanking their child in church, then everybody else in church was spanking too. I grew up in a church where every adult had the right to discipline us as children. But today, today we got parents going, oh, you disciplined my child, you made an enemy for life. Somebody better tell them, you, apparently you are. Oh, I'm so sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, I sound like I'm fussing. I'm not trying to fuss, guys.
I'm trying to tell you what God's telling us as parents. That our children need discipline. Some kind of way you got to get their attention. Now, I had a boy and a girl. And my daughter looked at her brother to determine right and wrong. And so when she saw me discipline him, she went, okay, I don't want that. So she was smarter than he was. But that's all right. Boys are boys. Don't you love boys? Sometimes you just got to get the boy's attention. I'm not talking about abuse, folks. I'm talking about getting their attention. And you use a variety. You don't always use something corporal. Sometimes, because that's not going to always work. If that's the only tool you got, you're messing it up as a parent. Sometimes talking gets more tears than the spanking.
I hate to admit this, but fact, but I was one of those children that if you talk to me, you could get the tears. I put out a fight. I put out a nice, ugly, mean face like I'm tough and I'm rough, but my mama would pull the tears just by talking to me. And she got more places with me sometimes when it came to discipline than Bob did.
That's right.
But we had an environment in which there was discipline, amen?
Amen.
Read on.
When the wicked are multiplied,
uh-huh,
transgression increases.
Yes.
But the righteous will see their fault.
Yes.
Correct your son, and he will give you rest.
In my Bible, I underlined that, and in my text here, in my word file, I italicized it, because that passage is saying something. It says that a disciplined child will give you rest. Now, you got to think about what that means. See, some parents, when their children are out of the house, can't have no rest. Because you don't know where they are, what they're doing, who they're with, what they're thinking about doing, where they are exposed. But if you train, there's no magic formula. That doesn't mean that every child you train is going to be the perfect child. That's not what I'm saying. But all I'm saying, the discipline and training lets you sleep at night. Say amen if you can. Am I talking to anybody in here this morning? I need to go on. There are many other examples of fathers we don't need. Let me give you a couple of fathers we do need. Hebrews the 6th chapter. Hebrews 11 and verses 6 begins a passage that is something that we all identify with. If you have that, read for us there, Brother West.
But without faith, it is impossible to please
God. Yes, all right. Now, you might say, Brother Thompson, where are you going here? Because I thought you were talking about fathers. Yes, I am, but I'm also talking about how the Father walked in the presence of God. And God says that faith is what makes him pleased. Well, now, this whole subject comes up under the context of a father who walked by faith. Read.
For he who comes to God must believe that he is.
Yes.
And that he is a water of those who diligently seek.
Now read verse 7.
By faith, Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen.
Yes.
Moved with godly fear.
Yes.
Prepared an ark for the sake of his household. By which he condemned the world.
By which he, Noah, condemned the world. How did he condemn the world? He condemned the world by his righteousness. He condemned the world by the faith that he exhibited. God gave Noah a mission. He says, build an ark. Nobody had ever seen an ark. God says, it's going to rain. Noah said, what's rain? But he took God for his word and he obeyed him, and that was his example of faith that condemns a faithless world. And fathers ought to show our children how to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. Fathers ought to show our wives how to be a faithful husband. Fathers ought to show everybody in this world and in this society how to raise a family that you can be proud of. So much is determined by you men. Amen. And I would be remiss if in the same voice that I say Happy Father's Day, I don't remind us of our obligation to be men of God. Genesis 6, when God decided I'm going to destroy this world, found one man, Genesis 6 and 8. And that one man he found was Noah. And the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Get for me Genesis 18, if you will. And verse 18, real quick, and we'll end on this note. Genesis, the 18th chapter. You see, fathers, when you have a relationship with God, God trusts you. God will show you his way and his will. He will share with you his intention for you. He will thank you for and bless you for being the kind of father he wants you to be. And so when God was contemplating, remember we started off talking about Lot. And Lot moved to Sodom. And the unrighteousness and the iniquity of Sodom came up to God's ears. So much so that God said, I got to go down to see if what I'm hearing is true. Now God knows everything, amen? But have you ever said, I got to go see this? Really the truth. Anybody ever tell you a story? He said, I gotta go see this for myself. What God had heard about Sodom and Gomorrah was so startling that God said, I gotta go down here and see this for myself. And when he saw it for himself, he decided, I'm gonna wipe the whole two cities off the face of the earth.
Amen.
But he had a servant down there named Abraham. Verse 18.
Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation.
Now, I've already promised this to Abraham. I told him he's going to be the father of many nations. I've asked him to leave Haran and go to a place where I will tell him. And he walked to this place not knowing where I was going to lead him. And because he believed me, I gave him righteousness. This is a relationship that Abraham had with God. And fathers, we need to have that same kind of relationship where God trusts us with the blessings that he has given us. In other words, that God trusts us with his children. That God trusts us with those that he has put under our care. And so God was talking about Abraham, and this is what he said. Read on.
And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
This is my promise I made to him. Read.
For I have known him.
I know it.
In order that he may command his children and his household after him.
Now, Abraham knew, God knew
In other words, pondered. He says, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Should I tell Abraham? Don't you want God to tell you what's on his mind? Don't you want God to talk with you and let you know what plans he has in store for you? Let the scripture say God will let you know that. I know the plans that I have for you. Is that all right? And so God is musing over Abraham. And he says, should I tell him what I'm about to do? And he comes to the conclusion that yes, I can tell Abraham. Why? Because he's a man after my own heart. Because he's a father that I'm looking for. And he will train his children.
Amen.
We need godly fathers.
Yes.
We need men who stand up against the tide and teach your children to honor women.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, you can. Teach your children to honor themselves. Amen. Teach your children that it takes time to gain and acquire assets. You just don't go out there and get them off any old kind of way.
Amen.
Some things require work.
Amen.
Oh, tell them to get a J-O-B. And now that we're talking about it, let's extend the J-O-B to a career. Something that will pay you back. Anybody can work at McDonald's. And nothing's wrong with McDonald's, y'all. They make some bad fries. But unless you're in the management team, see, that's what fathers do. You hear this one. You hear this one. And you're not a part of God's family. You come by hearing it. You come by believing. You come by confessing Jesus Christ to be God's son. You come by putting him on in baptism, dying to self, rising to walk in a newness of life. Father's coming up out of that water declaring, I'm going to be your man of God. Amen.
Amen.
If you're here this morning, you walk contrary to God's will. We're going to ask that you come. We're going to ask that you make whatever steps you need to make. We're here, and our elders are ready and willing and able to pray for you. Amen, elders?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Won't you come? While we stand and sing the song.
Yeah.